Good evening, my dear Dhamma brothers and sisters. Today is January 23rd, 2009. We are having our regular meditation class. Today we have tea meditation. This is the monthly event. Every last Friday of the month, we have the opportunity to sit at a circle to enjoy the presence of each other and also to enjoy the tea and the cookies together. Sometimes we do not need to say anything. Just sit quietly, enjoy a cup of tea, enjoy the taste of the cookie, it's happy enough. Because most of the time, when we eat, we talk, we are wandering our mind. We are not really there to enjoy the cup of tea or to enjoy the piece of cookie. And sometimes at home, you also can practice this. Make yourself a cup of tea and also maybe your husband or your wife or your family members, and just quietly and sit and enjoy the tea together. It's a great happiness already. I don't know, have you ever practiced enjoy the sunrise in the morning? If you wake up early in the summertime, you can take a walk to the park where you can see the sunrise. Just sit there quietly and see the sunrise. Very rarely we have the opportunity like that. So if we do have the opportunity to enjoy, why not? We enjoy it completely. Meditation is not only when you sit in a very formal way with your cross legs, hands together in the meditation posture, but meditation can be done in all activity in daily. When you drink, when you eat, when you talk, when you walk. When you hear the sound of the bell, no matter what you do, maybe you lift up the teapot, but when you hear, I wake the bell, then you stop. What are you doing? Put your teapot down, or put your cup of tea down. What you do, and get ready to hear, to listen, to enjoy the sound of the bell. Because the sound of the bell is like the voice of the Buddha, call us back to the present moment. Go back to your conscious breathing. Breathing in, I am aware that I am breathing in. Breathing out, I am happy that I still breathing out. Breathing in, I still alive. Breathing out, I enjoy the present moment. Three breaths, and then you continue to do your work. During the tea ceremony, while you walk to the main teapot and you hear the sound of the bell, you stop right at that spot enjoy your breathing. So in the mindfulness day, we do that. In the Vietnamese community, when they have a mindfulness day, we have a bell master. So that person have the responsibility that every 15 minutes he will come to the bell, join his hands together, he bow to the bell and he invite the bell. And when everybody is working, they stop and then they enjoy their breathing. Maybe sometimes we are working, but we get lost. Our mind is already visiting some other places. We are not really there. So the sound of the bell calls us back to the present moment. So the present moment is very important. Not the past, not the future. Why? This is something we already repeat thousand, hundred thousand of times. Because the past already passed. The future not yet come. The present moment is the reality. And if we do have the capacity to enjoy the present moment, don't worry that your future is not good. Because the future will become present. So if you're able to touch the present, you're able to touch the future. Because the future is only the illusion, it's only the word. But you cannot touch what is called future. Tomorrow is only a word to say. So we have a direction for something in the future, tomorrow. But actually, if we do touch today, tomorrow is possible. If we are unable to touch what is called today, tomorrow is not possible. So in some of the monastery, the Buddhist monastery, they put a big sign right at the door, the gate, the entrance. The kingdom of God is here or never. They make a big sign right at the gate. What is that? They want to invite us. You have arrived. You arrive where? Arrive to the present moment. You are home. Where is your home? Home is the present moment. No other places. We don't have to, there is nothing wrong to plan for the future. But we should know that is only a plan. But if you're able to make the present good, your plan will be successful. So the sound of the bell in the practice center is very powerful. When you invite the bell, when you hear the bell, the one who invites must be at peace, must be calm, must be relaxed. Because there, the sound of the bell is on their behalf. If they are not well, they are unable to make the sound of the bell well. And the hearer also cannot benefit anything from the sound of the bell. So before we invite the bell, we hold a stick and we go back to our conscious breathing. Breathing in, I am here in the present moment. My body, my speech, my mind held in perfect oneness. I send my heart along with the sound of the bell. May the hearers be awakened from forgetfulness and transcend all anxiety and sorrows. And when you're able to read that with all your calm and relax, and only four lines, but that four lines become your energy, and you can make the sound of the bell. And when the one who hears the sound of the bell, what you do in that moment, stop, what are you thinking? Stop, what are you doing? Go back right to your breathing, to your breath. Breathing in, you can say, listen, listen to this wonderful sound. You're breathing out, you say, brings me back to my true home. Listen, listen to this wonderful sound. Brings me back to my true home. Some places they change the word true home into true self. Bring me back to my true self. You go back to your own moment. Sometimes when you have a meal together with your family members, we need quiet time together. Of course, we can talk, but sometimes you can feel that talking, losing a lot of energy of a family, of a union. Quiet give you the opportunity to recognize things more deeper. So in the Buddhist practice, we used to say, when you talk, talk like a Dharma. When you silent, silent like a Dharma. Because sometimes you keep quiet, doesn't mean you lose. That person's the winner. Sometimes we feel that, not because we scare, but keeping quiet to create more peace for the family, for ourselves, and for the others. Talking, conversation is needed, but if our speech able to bring anything to others. So that is the reason why we invite the bell. We need to wake the bell. Waking the bell stands for the stable energy within you. And you announce to everybody, get ready, preparing to hearing the sound of the bell. Stopping before you sound it, the same as before you speak, you stop and think. Because your words is like the sound of the bell, make people happy or not. So the one who invite the bell, if they are not at peace, we don't invite them. So sometimes in our ceremony, especially if we invite someone to come and lead the meditation session, we come to that monk or that practitioner, we say, brother or sister, may I invite you to be our bell master for this evening? And if that person is not well, they say, I'm sorry, today I'm not feeling well. They have two kind of feelings. Maybe on your body, on their body, their physical body, they don't feel well, so they don't have enough energy to do it. Or sometimes there is something upset them, something that they don't feel okay. They don't want to affect the others. So they have the right to say no, but we need to respect, because we need to give that person time to practice. And maybe in that moment, that person needs to become a hearer better than the inviter. That person needs to be the one who sits and listening to the bell in order to heal in them, in order to heal them, to calm them, rather than come and be the master of the bell. So during the meeting, or when we have arguments, or we have something need to be discussed, we are very kind. We say, "Brother, can I invite you for tea?" In some monastery, they use that term in order to say, "May I see you? We have problems. We need to sit down and solve." But if we say, "I have a problem with you, I need to solve out a problem," that makes that person scared. But in the practice, we don't need to do anything like in an army. "Brother, can we meet and we have tea together?" And if the younger brother, then they hear that message, they know my bigger brother need to share with me something. And if you are well, you say, "Yes, brother, I will be there on time." If not, you say, "Brother, I'm not ready for tea today." That person also respects. And then maybe 2 days later, the younger brother ready. They come to see the bigger brother. They say, "Brother, I'm ready to have tea with you." But this time, the bigger brother is not ready. He may say, "I'm sorry, today is my turn." Why is that? Because we're still human. We still practice. We're not a saint yet. So we need to support each other. If that person is not ready, we respect. You know, in our monastery sometimes, of course, we need to encourage each other in the practice. But someday, when I look at that person's face, I hear the way they walk, I know they're not feeling well, so they don't have to come to for meditation or for chanting. I say, "It's okay, you rest today." I will do it. Why? We cannot say, "Doesn't matter what's wrong with you. As if it's time to meditate, you need to come and meditate. It's the time to chanting, you need to participate." We cannot say that. But we need to support. No matter in a monastery or in at home, when you want to talk to someone, you have to meditate on their day too. Your side, you ready to talk, but you need to practice to looking at that person. You need to meditate on that person too. Is that person ready? If that person is not ready, don't say anything, because you will flip up the situation. You will make the situation more worse. That day is not a good day to solve out. And when you can able to do that, that is a practice. That's a meditation. Meditation is like that. Meditation, while you walk, you talk, you work, you sit, you eat, you drink. There was a young boy. One day he had done something wrong. I asked him to come up to the Buddha and do some bowing. And he said, "Thai, how come you make me, how come you penalty me?" And I, instead of using my power, don't ask anything, don't say anything, just come up there and do it. But I use some time to explain. In our practice, when you do something wrong, and your teacher asks you to do something like kneeling, we burn the incense and knee in front of the Buddha, or facing to the wall for half hour, for 45 minutes, and you feel bad because that is a penalty. Fine. But actually it's not. It is a practice. When you kneeling like that, it is time for you to reflect. You go back to yourself and reflect what you have done wrong. And when you get ready to see yourself, and you can see the root of your problems. So when we do prostration, mean bowing, we don't do like a machine, but we do with our heart. We bow down each prostration slowly and very sincerely. And while you touch the floor, that means you drop what is called self, yourself. You drop that down and to see you and the others only one. And if you're able to do that, you transform a lot of anxiety, sorrows, blaming in you. We have the habit. We see the other's faults more than we see ours. And that is how Buddhists practice confession. Again, the word confession is only a temporary term that I use and we use. We like to use the word beginning anew more than the word confession. That means when you recognize what you have done wrong, you're willing to begin yourself newer. You're willing to make yourself newer. You're willing to transform yourself. You don't come to that person, confess. That means you say out your sins and ask that person, you know, clear your sins or on behalf of you to pray on someone above. In our practice, we don't do that. Because we learn that we have to be responsible with what we have done wrong. We call the cause and effect. This is what the seed what you plant. And now look, this is your fruit. That is the reason why we have the fruit on the altars. The fruit stands for the result. And before they become the fruit, what are they? They are the seed. So the fruit on the altar is the lecturing of cause and effect. And when you go to the market, you select the good fruit to buy. Right? Select the good one. Stand for choosing the good things to do. And if anything, you go home, you open your bag and you see, oh my God, there is some, you know, bad one in my bag. Who pick it? No blaming. They open the whole box for you to choose because you don't meditate enough. You see that? You are the one who is responsible for what you have done. Lot of mothers, they suffer because of their kids. They have chosen the wrong path, and now they have to accept all the wrong fruits. And I encourage them by say that who knows, maybe, you know, something happened to them. It's like a bell to awake them, to see back in many years before what they have done wrong. Sometimes they don't see it unless they have to face, they have to touch something very difficult, a big problem in their life, and they can see, they can have a chance to reflect. So when you burn the incense, it is also the opportunity, a chance to reflect. So that's why when you burn the incense, we used to hold the incense for a while. Because the incense stands for the precepts, the concentration, and the wisdom. This is the incense of precepts, concentration, and wisdom, insight. I now offer to the Buddhas and you can see that the smoke evaporate, come up, and the ash fall down. You can remind yourself, if I keep my mind free, I can let go a lot, and I feel very light, like the smoke. If I contain so many things in me, I will be heavy, I will fall down like the ash. So remember that the incense stands for the morality. There's nothing wrong for us to use the technology. But remember, morality needs to go along with the technology. Otherwise, we just stick with the technology and we've totally forgot the morality. That is danger. In our society, each day, they change a lot. So many technology things born each day. They can produce a lot. But guess what? If we don't come back and we can see what we really need, we just floating ourselves with that technology. And no morality along with it. It's that danger. Danger for who? For us. Because we cannot stop. It's the same as you driving on the freeway. You don't know where to go. Maybe you passed the exit long time ago. You still don't know. You just keep going. And sometimes the more you go, the farther you go, the more you get lost. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you are now. Now, very lucky we have the GPS. But we are more luckier, we have the Dharma. Dharma is like our GPS. Lot of directions. This morning, when I give a ride to one of my students to the dentist, on the way home, he say, "Thai, the society now is a lot of technology. Very powerful, very miracle. The GPS can tell all the directions. So powerful." I say, only a machine can do that. Can work that fast. And do you know that the Dharma of the Buddha, the teaching of the Buddha is the same as this GPS. Can tell you all direction. And there is a GPS that every 2 or 3 years you must update. Because there are a lot of new roads created after that. So the Dharma, the practice, also need to be updated. We don't stick to what is called, this is the teaching of the Buddha. So what? The teaching of the Buddha, the purpose of it is to heal our problems. But if we stick with that, but that doesn't work for us, what's that for? In one of the sutra, the Buddha said, there was a young man who stayed home alone, and his father went to work. And when the son at home and he running to somewhere else to play, and that whole village had fire. And everybody was burned, the house was burned out. A lot of people died in the fire. Lucky, his son is out of the village too. So his son is safe. But when he back home, he come to his house and he see that the whole house is burned out and one of the body in there. And he thought, that is his son. After he cremate that body, he put the ash into the urn. He carried the urn all day long. One night, his son come back home and knock on the door and say, "Father, open the door. I am your son." He said, no, my son is died. My son died. You see, this is my son. He pointed to the urn. And he believed strongly the ash in the urn is his son. But even his son stand in front of him, he still don't accept that. He said, "No, you're not my son. My son died in the fire. I already cremated him." He willing to accept, the burned body. Then he accept the person show in front of him is his son. The Buddha give the conclusion. Many of us embrace what we have known, the same as the urn of the ash. Even the truth appear, we still don't take it. What I have learned 20 years ago is the truth, the absolute truth. No one dare to change my mind. That's suffer. We should know that what we learned 20 years ago compared to now is totally different. And as I mentioned that last week, there was a driver who gave me a ride to the funeral home to do a service. And then on the way back, and he asked me a question. old people hard to deal, or young people hard to deal. And I say, doesn't matter, old or young. If you don't understand the situation, you give yourself hard time, and you also give other, the one you love, hard time too. So the point is, we can see the situation, the reality or not. So don't become that father. Just, you know, carry the urn of the ash. And even the son appear, he still don't accept him. What we have learned, we should know that even that is true, but when? Maybe at that time only. Now, we need to look back. So that's why the Buddha always reminds us, don't just embrace the whole bunch of the Dharma and to show everybody that you are the Buddhist philosopher. You know a lot about Buddhism. You know a lot. But that lot, that many, cannot transform you. It's the same as the urn of the ash. You just carry that, but doesn't help. Digest what you eat. Digest what you learn. And make the Dharma, the teaching, become your day, your life, your breath. Every single breath you make that contains peace, joy, happiness. Don't run away from sorrow. Don't have to. But your powerfulness, you're able to face them, take them, and transform. Because if that is your problem, sooner or later, you still must solve that problem. So why we need to run away from it? Today, we have the opportunity to sit together, to enjoy the presence of each other, to have tea together, and together we practice. And that is the enough happy for all of us. Maybe next month when we come back, not the same. So, you know, as a monk in a temple, every day I hear impermanent. I see impermanent. I see the changes because the person I met yesterday, today, is gone. A very healthy man I met now become very sick. We never know what happened. So that reminds me a lot. Use the day meaningful. We live for the sake of others. It's like the flower. They bloom beautifully. They offer their presence for all of us. And if one day the flower go bad and sleep deeply into the garbage bin, the flower have no regret because the flower have done the best of the flower. Done your best. We don't ask for perfect. Just do your best. So you come on Friday. This is the practice. Because you come to show up, you come to sit. Of course, you can sit at home. You are not coming here once a week just to meditate. You need to meditate at home. But you make your time here is for the sake of others. We come as a Sangha. In Buddhist term, we used to call Dao Lu. Dao means the path. Lu means the stream, like the floating of the water. Everybody join together and go in the same direction. We come as a river. We don't come like a drop of water. Lonely. Isolated. Any question for me? If you have a question, please feel free to ask. Yes, brother. Did you hear the question? And do you have any opinion, any sharing? This is time for us to share. Feel free to share. There's no right or wrong. So let me repeat the question. Our brother asked that why we do not let our mind just free from what we think, right? Why we have to struggling bring our mind into the present, and sometimes doing that against the nature. Is that what you mean? Yes, Kurt? This would be the same as our kids, our children, when they were young. They say, Mom or Dad, why don't you let us just do whatever we want? Why you have a lot of instruction for us, like you have to do your homework, you have to do 20 minutes of reading. The kids will question us the same. And what is your answer for that? We put you in the right track. The same as the boy told me yesterday. The more you make me kneeling, the more you make me prostration, that make me feel bad about the practice. And the more you make me that, I don't want to practice anymore. He said, no, don't think that. It's not a penalty, it's a practice. When we floating our mind wherever we want, but remember the day is the today. The day is here and now. So when you awake, you need to do something and you don't have an idea what to do. You don't have the insight for that present situation. Because we're just floating our mind. But our habit is we never stay in the present. We like the past, we like the future. Okay? But the reality is you're hungry. So when you're hungry, what you do? You sit there and imagine, yesterday I have something, or tomorrow I will have something. You see what I mean? The present is you need to go to work to have some money to buy the food. Here is the real one. To satisfy your hunger now. The past and the future is like you are sitting there. In Vietnamese, we call bánh vẽ. Bánh means cake. Vẽ means drawing. We draw a lot of cakes, a lot of food, a lot of dishes every day. Yesterday I ate that and that. Tomorrow I will eat this and that. But doesn't matter. You think past or the future. Hours, 2 hours, 3 hours later, you're hungry. You get thirsty. What you do? You still sit there and I will drink apple juice and let it here. This is apple juice. You see my example? Because we don't get used to it. We see it as a struggling. But when you live with it, there's nothing struggling. For instance, you sit like this. Suffer. I like Friday, but I don't like sitting. You see? But if you get used to sitting like this, there's nothing problem. But when you sit like this, it gives you a lot of energy. Who knows? So like when we are first driving, we're struggling a lot because, you know, a lot of signs, a lot of traffic. But when we get used to the driving, no problem. You can drive on the snow. If you go back to California or Vancouver, you have no problem because you're able to drive on snow. Then you're able, you know, it's more easy for you to drive on the clean and on the clean street. There's nothing we do without any practicing, trying. But remember, what you imagine, whatever we imagine, still just imagine. The thing is still the reality. We can say, I pray Buddha for food, I pray God for food, God give me this, Buddha give me this. That is only what? Only the prayer. But the reality is, you still need to go to work for your living. People love you a lot. They can give you once a while. They cannot feed you all life. You see what I mean? So your thing is here and now. But because we have the habit, you know, running and floating. It's like a kid. They want to be free, but how come their mother expect them go to bed at 9, wake up at 7, you know, do things on schedule? The same thing. Okay, thank you, my brothers and sisters, for your presence with us tonight. I hope you enjoy the night and also enjoy your whole weekend. And remember that this coming Sunday, the Vietnamese community will celebrate their New Year. Sunday night will be the New Year's Eve. And on Monday is their first day of the year in the lunar calendar. So, of course, as a practitioner, every day is our new year. But because, again, the reality, we are Vietnamese. No doubt. So, we still enjoy or celebrate the new year. So, I hope that if you're able to, if you can make up your time, please come and join the celebration with us on Sunday night at 10 p.m. or whole day on Monday. Okay, thank you so much for your time. And of course, we do have some, we do need some help to clean up the hall, to do some preparing in this meditation hall. So after the session, if you have time, please stay back and give us a hand. Thank you so much, and see you next Friday.